Good morning, beautiful people. Hope all is well. And I have to say this, their mission is simple, to develop disciples of Jesus Christ who advance the kingdom of God through worship, evangelism, study, the giving of tithes and offerings, and service. Watts Chapel Missionary Baptist Church and its pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harry L. White Jr., are all about service. And today, I get to sit down with Pastor White and talk about their 148th year anniversary. This is going to be great, y'all. Let's do it.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher, hey, hey, hey. It's the unknown preacher, hey, 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 hey. Unknown preacher, unknown preacher, unknown preacher, unknown preacher.
It is beautiful people, unknown preacher LA season 2. I'm your boy LA, aka Lonzo, Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, what a day, what a day. Welcome, beautiful people. And happy upcoming anniversary to Watts Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. And because Watts will always have a special place in my heart, I want to put the spotlight on this milestone. So there's just so many good things to say about Watts, and I can't wait to share. But first, let me say this. Watts is closely connected to my family. My uncle and Aunt Arlie and Mary Thomas, they were members of Watts Chapel for over 60 years. And my cousin John Brown, he was a member there until he unexpectedly transitioned. So I've seen Watts, the people, and a lot of great things get done by members of their church. Amen. And that's why I have so much love for Watts Chapel. And as a child, I would sit quietly while my cousins went there for choir rehearsal. So today, we are spotlighting Watts and his spiritual leader who has dedicated his life promoting God's kingdom. And if you don't know who I'm talking about the Reverend Dr. Harry L. White Jr. How are you, sir?
Hey, brother. Good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice. Good to be with you today.
You too. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations to you and Watts Chapel for approaching this 148-year mark.
Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate your well wishes, your kudos to Watts Chapel, and all that you mean and what you and your family mean to Watts Chapel. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. And it's just so much respect and love I have for Watts and for you and your ministry. I know being a leader of a church like Watts comes with so much responsibility. You're talking about administrative duties, Christian education, counseling, building disciples, preaching, it goes on and on. So it just speaks to the type of leader you are. So we are so thankful for you. And as I said earlier, there are a lot of emotional blood ties to Watts.
Lawrence. And so I basically explained why Watts is special to me, but can you tell our listeners why Watts is the special church that it is?
Well, Watts Chapel is a historic church in Wake County. We are in the area that is historically known as Ramcat. Once upon a time, it was rural. Now it's suburban.
Wow.
Watts Chapel is a special place because we take our ministry seriously, our commitment to God, our commitment to the world, and our commitment to the local community very seriously. We are serious about loving God, loving people, and doing the work of missions. Yes. Locally and globally. So then Watts Chapel, I think, is a great cross-section of people. We're intergenerational. We're a cross-section economically, socially, where we're all committed to the kingdom of God. So that's what makes us special.
Amen. Amen. And I'll just say this, the sustainability of Watts through all the years, to everything that you said, and I've seen so many churches take huge hits after COVID, but I didn't see it at Watts. And if you would, do you have any ideas or thoughts on why Watts was able to sustain despite the impacts of COVID?
Yeah, I don't want to sound super spiritual, but I give all credit, glory and honor and thanksgiving to God and the favor of God. We were able to do ministry in the midst of COVID because of God's favor. Mm-hmm. Also attributed to the commitment of great disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, despite COVID, understood that their commitment was not contingent upon a pandemic, but we're committed to God regardless of what we're going through. And I also want to give credit to our media team, which is phenomenal. I think we have one of the greatest media teams in the world. Yes. We have constantly updated and upgraded our media and technology. I give the church credit for their foresight and their willingness to be cooperative, as we have needed to constantly update and upgrade media. And, you know, because we were continuously upgrading media and technology when the pandemic hit, we had to make a few pivots, but we didn't have to reinvent the wheel because in many cases, our media and technology was already in place. So once again, the favor of God, the forethought of people and our media team. So we didn't, you know, it was an adjustment for everybody, but yeah, we didn't have to do a lot. We had to make some pivots and adjustments, but because we had some things in place already, we were able to continue to do ministry.
Amen, amen. And I can tell you, I'm on social media quite often, and you're right. You do have a phenomenal media team. They're always on it, and it's really personalized. I've seen the interactions with you, so that says a lot. So you talked about the media team, our Heavenly Father, of course, the people in the church. But let's hear about Pastor White. I know you're from Baltimore, right?
Yes, sir. Baltimore.
Are you a Ravens fan?
Most definitely. I'm grieving this morning because you saw what happened last night, but I'm not gonna, you know, we will see them again in the playoffs. We will see them again in the playoffs. We, heck of a game, great way to begin the opening game of the season. And you know, the funny thing, my wife is a native of Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, wow.
You know, for about 3 hours in our household, we are house divided. But it was a great game. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm a native of Baltimore, Maryland. Yes. The bulk of my family lives in Baltimore. My parents, grandmother, a lot of cousins. I'm a graduate of Howard University in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
I graduate of United Theological Seminary, Dayton, Ohio. also a graduate of Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, where I earned my doctoral degree. So that's a little bit about me educationally. I pastored in Ohio for 8 years before I came to Raleigh, Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, Lincoln Heights, Ohio, Zone 15. So that's where I cut my teeth in ministry. I was also assistant pastor of two churches, one in Columbus, Ohio, one in Dayton, Ohio, before I started my own pastoral journey. So that's a little bit about me.
Man, that's a great journey. And honestly, I can support the Ravens a little, but I'm a Cowboys fan, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, hey, let me just say this. Baltimore is closer than Dallas, okay?
Hey, I concede on that. But I actually was going for the Ravens in that game. But the real business, I'm sorry about that. I just had to take a little jab. But I am, that's a remarkable journey, and I appreciate you sharing that. So I also want to ask how you do it. So make people feel a part of the Watts Chapel community, make them feel part of the group, because I know some Christians who say, I want to be part of a small church because it's more intimate, and a small church feels like family. But Watts, despite being fairly large, to me still, I got that feel when I visited, the few times I visited Watts. So how do you do it? What's the formula?
Well, you know, one of our phrases as a church that we say, as we become larger, we want to become warmer. You know, sometimes the assumption is that a small church is going to be family oriented and intimate. That's a misnomer. And a big church is going to be impersonal because it's large. I think loving people love God and love each other. So you can be 30 in number and be mean. You can be 3,000 in number and be loving and warm. It's a misnomer. It's an assumption. So I think we take seriously interpersonal relationships that are holy and healthy. Yeah. As a pastor, I try to foster an atmosphere where we love God, where we love each other. I try to, you know, if you're an active member in the life of Watts Chapel, you're going to find connections and family. You know, you can do that at a small church. You can do that at a large church. There are so many people who come late, leave early. You never attend events. You never integrate yourself into church life. So if you want friends, the Bible says you must be found friendly. So it's the same thing in church life. Acts 2 talks about the church in Jerusalem, and they broke bread. They had favor with God, had favor with people. If you're an active member of Watts Chapel, we know who you are. We have something called a tribal system, too, that helps as the church has grown larger. Our tribal teams take care of congregational care. So we have 12 tribes, the deacons lead tribes along with associate ministers. And when you join the church, you're assigned to a tribe based on your last name. We have new disciples orientation. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we have our quarterly meet the pastor session. So new members will get to meet myself, my wife, deacons, leaders in the life of the church. But once again, it requires that you attend. Yes. You know, if you attend, I'm going to know something about you. We're going to develop a relationship with you. So that's for everybody though. So that's how we try to create an atmosphere of love and interpersonal warmth, I would say.
Yes. Amen to that. And I'll say this too. And in the spirit of humility, you won't say it, but and I've been a member of large churches, you make yourself pretty accessible, and you don't see that often. So I just wanted to put that out there. Can you tell us about your experience when you first came to Watts?
Well, I came to Watts in 2006. I came from Cincinnati, Ohio. I had pastoral experience. So I am convinced God wanted me to be the pastor of Watts Chapel.
Yeah.
God wants me to be the pastor of Watts Chapel. So when you're where God wants you to be, the load is lighter. That doesn't mean every day is going to be Sunday and you won't have challenges and issues. We live on earth. We live in an imperfect world. I'm not a perfect pastor. Watts is not a perfect church. Yet the experience from day one has been good. We've had challenges. We've had issues, but we have not had any major issues that have torn us asunder as a church. We've had steady, consistent, constant growth. I inherited, as a pastor, a great group of people that love God, that was supportive of pastoral leadership historically. We've been creative, and I'm gonna give Watts Chapel credit. I was 35, so I wasn't a rookie, had significant pastoral experience, but you know, some churches are slow to trust and follow. Watts Chapel allowed me to pastor. Of course, I've made mistakes. If I had to, I would do some things differently. Mm-hmm. Yet it's been a good experience where we've had consistent, continuous, steady growth over the past 18 years of my pastorate. Yeah, 18 years. So God's been good.
Amen. And what was your vision when you came? What did you see or find it needed to be done?
You know, it's I always say this. Some pastors communicate vision prematurely. You know, I think the biggest thing with any church and any organization is getting to know the context of who you're pastoring, where you're pastoring. Out of getting to know people, you understand the needs of the church. I think the worst thing you can do is kind of treat vision like a mobile project. You know, just because I did it in Cincinnati, or I saw somebody else do it in Memphis, or somebody else had success for this in Los Angeles, I'm going to bring it to Raleigh. You know, God is a customized God. You know, you got to figure out who you pastor, you got to figure out the context. You got to build on the successes of people. You know, you can't just impose vision on a church that you don't know, because people don't trust you. They don't trust you yet. It takes time for people to trust you. So I guess my biggest vision is based on the Great Commission. My biggest vision, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and also the Great Commandment, Matthew 22, love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The Great Commission, go into the world, making disciples. So my vision is based on a vision of discipleship and love. So, yeah.
Facts. Wow. That was an earful, and I really appreciated and absorbed all that. Thank you. Thank you. I love asking this to ministers, that first sermon. Tell us about your first sermon.
My first sermon in life, or my first sermon at Watts Chapel?
In life, but both if you want to, but in life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I preached my initial sermon on March 18th, 1992, the Gillis Memorial Church, Baltimore, Maryland, Park Heights Avenue, West Side. That's my home church. My pastor, who's now gone to be with the Lord, Theodore Jackson, was a great mentor, great man who can't say enough about him, can't say enough about Gillis and what they have meant to my formation in life. I would not be who I am without Gillis and Dr. Jackson, some other key people along the journey. I know I preached from 1 Kings 17, the priorities of the prophet. That was my initial sermon. I still have the manuscript around here somewhere. So. Lord have mercy. I just, you know, God is gracious because, you know, I practiced that sermon when Dr. Jackson gave me the date for my initial sermon. You know, we called it a trial sermon back then. Trial sermon, not initial sermon. The language has changed. I was living in D.C. on campus at Howard, and I practiced that sermon. I found an empty classroom that I would go practice like every other day for like a month.
Wow.
So I was still nervous, I mean, but I just learned the importance of preparation and being thorough. And I think my first sermon at Watts Chapel was from the book of Joshua. Mm-hmm. Joshua chapter 1, I believe. It was the second Sunday in August 2006. I can't remember the name of it, but I know it was from the book of Joshua. Yeah. You know, Pastor Frank Weaver was longstanding pastor of Watts Chapel. Then there was another gentleman who was the pastor in between myself assuming the pastorate. And then J.D. Ballard was interim pastor of Watts Chapel for a year. So he's pastor emeritus at United Metropolitan Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He was the interim. So those are my two sermons that stand out. Yeah, so hopefully that answered your question.
It did, it did. So on that note, the Pastor White in 2024, what advice would you give to a younger Pastor White, 1992 Pastor White?
Oh, my gosh. Spend time, if given advice to myself in 1992, I would say spend time with God daily, reading the word in prayer, build a strong devotional life. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is work on your gift and develop your craft. The third, and then, you know, an addendum to that is let your gift make room for you. Trust God to open doors for you and focused. Stay focused. So many areas you get distracted in ministry. In life, you can get distracted. I would say stay focused. I would also say take care of your physical temple, too. Yeah, just as a black man, as a preacher, you want to be a good steward of your temple. So, yeah, that's what I would say. That's what I would say.
That's powerful, man. I appreciate that. I also learned that you're a published author. And you have quite a library, actually. So, was it like 5 or 6 books, I think, right?
Yeah, I think I got about 5 or 6 out there right now. Five or six out there. Yeah.
Can you tell us about which one would you recommend our listeners or even me? Which one would you recommend I read first?
Well, I recommend that you read the first one I recommend. I think it's the latest one I did. It's called Thinking and Thanking. It's a devotional book. It can be used devotionally. It can be used in your everyday life. It's a book that encourages people to be grateful and thankful. In so many cases, you know, the enemy works through discouragement. Sometimes we think we have it worse than we really have it.
Yes.
And in many cases, we have it better than we imagine. But, you know, Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things. You got to think about how good God is to you. Think about the blessings you have. So that's the book I would recommend that everybody read. It challenges readers to, it's a really list, an elongated list of reasons to be grateful and thankful. So it takes people over, I think it's like over 500, maybe close to 1,000. I may be 1,000, maybe reasons we have to be grateful and thankful in life.
Wow.
And, you know, when you start thinking about one thing, you think about multiple things. You know, my wife said, has this phrase, we have first world problems, you know. You know, what kind of water you going to drink, you know, where some people don't have water, you know.
Yeah.
So sometimes it just takes something called perspective to be grateful. So that's the one I would recommend that everybody read.
I'm definitely interested, and we'll pull the pages on that. And wife definitely sounds wise as well. Wow, that's I'm gonna remember that and use it.
Yes, sir.
Not necessarily relevant to wise, but in your opinion, how do we get our young people back into the church? I that's one of my passions, and kind of why I started the podcast and Christian hip-hop, all of that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think young people in many cases are a reflection of their parents' commitment to...
Who's your God? We walk through life with titles and labels, seeking approval, but no one is able to know success is really a fable. Silver and gold is the lie he told. After careful consideration, I came to this conclusion that money is our God, but we worship by illusion. See, money is first and materials are next. And when we get the mansion, we think that we are blessed, but it adds more stress out of fear to have less. Instead of giving it to God, we give the world our best. We're not in church because we're in the office, and the thing we praise, we saw and bought it. We're chasing the bags, but we're still feeling sad, and we're chasing the bags, not knowing what we had, and our life is looking bad, but we're still chasing bags. See, we follow the wealthy and we frown on the poor because the demons are screaming, more money, more, more. There used to be a time when kids played outside and they didn't receive trophies just because they tried. Is the trophy your God? Is your car your God? Maybe it's even your home. There was a time when we could be alone, but now we're never alone because we're being monitored and controlled, and our master is the smartphone. And our hands are greedy, but we're supposed to be smarter. And looking in the mirror gets harder and harder. See, I wanted my time to be family time, but I couldn't miss work. That promotion was on the line. Is it a crime? I think it is. Because when I was at work, the devil was with my kids. Who's your God?
Parents have to encourage young people to come to church. I mean, so if it's important to you, it should be important to your children. Yeah. So I think it starts right there. And then I think that's key. If more parents would bring children to church and make the most of opportunities that we have in church life, then I think that's the start. Then I said, you know, you can't treat young people like they're a problem and a nuisance, because they are the church of today.
Thank you. That makes perfect sense. So Watts Chapel, 148 years. What do you all have planned?
Well, we are excited about celebrating our birthday as a church next the weekend. It's the third Sunday in September. So the 14th and the 15th of September, Saturday the 14th, we're having Praise on the Lot. Praise on the Lot is like a block party where we're inviting Watts Chapel members and the entire community to come out in large numbers to celebrate with us. We're going to have bouncy houses. We can have a little bit of everything for the whole family. We got a special guest musician. On Sunday morning, we're having worship outside. We're doing a one-day tent revival. and Pastor Wes Morgan will be our special guest on that Sunday morning. I'll be preaching the gospel outside. So we're looking, we're praying for good weather. Yes. And we're looking for God to show up in great numbers. Hopefully you can come out on that Saturday or Sunday.
I will.
As we celebrate 148 years.
You will see me either Saturday or Sunday, maybe both. What time Saturday?
Oh, Saturday we're from 12 to 4. Okay. Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. We're having one worship service at 9:30. We normally do two, but we're having one at 9:30.
Awesome. Yes, I will be in attendance, man. I appreciate that. Any other events or services you want to share before we close?
Yeah, you know, we're kicking back off our Awana. That's a ministry for young people. We're starting on Wednesday, September 11th. We also have noonday Bible study and 7 o'clock p.m. Bible study for adults. So we took a break for the summer, but we're kicking back off on this upcoming Wednesday. Awana for ages 4 to 18. Noonday Bible study is for adults. And 7 p.m. Bible study is for adults. So we look forward to inviting and welcoming anybody who wants to come out.
Awesome. Awesome. Good info, man. And I just, again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being on the podcast/radio show. Thank you for your ministry, for your leadership. God bless you and Watts Chapel. Thank you.
Well, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you for thinking of us. Thank you for thinking of Watts Chapel. And thank you for your time, and look forward to seeing you again, brother.
Amen, amen. Pastor White, y'all.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.